Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast for Generation Next. News, views and opinions from the queer youth of today. The Generation Next podcast is presented to you with thanks to Joy sponsor, Equal Play.
I'm Jason Ball.
And I'm Gus Johnston.
Sport has been a massive part of our lives.
But for all the highs, sport can also be complex and at times pretty tough for those in the GLBTI community.
The Equal Play study is an opportunity to change all this. We're calling on people aged 14 to 23 who are same-sex attracted or gender diverse to share their experiences in sport and PE. Participate now at facebook.com/equalplay.
Spice Girls, Generation Next, Joy 94.9. You are joined by Dill and Em. It is 6 minutes past 7 p.m. It's my first show for the year. I think actually it's my first show for about a month. I've been partying and had wrap-ups at the end of the year. And then I was away and then I was sick. It's good to be back.
And it's good to have you back.
Oh, thanks, Dill.
I mean, I love being with, you know, Vic and Mason on the show, but like Em.
But I'm the best.
I missed you. I don't have favourites.
No, everybody's lovely on this show.
And guys, if at any point throughout the show you'd like to join in the conversation or you want to say how much you missed Em while she was gone.
Yeah. Send me some fan mail.
Text in on 0427 Joy 949 or you can call front desk on 1300 Joy 949 or shoot us an email on air at joy.org.au.
Yeah. And we've got a great show coming out today. Going to be doing, as always, some gay school, listening to some cool Aussie music.
Oh, yeah.
And we've also in a little bit got an interview coming up with Lee from Y Gender, and we're really looking forward to talking with him.
Absolutely. I am looking forward to having that chat. It should be really good. If anyone did read the December issue of Q magazine, you would have read his little write-up.
Yeah. Very interesting interview. Yeah. Was good.
It was good. Mm. How, like, I know that, I guess it's like gone past the, like, you know, New Year's conversation, but how was yours?
It was really excellent. I went to Tassie to the Falls Arts and Music Festival down there. I always thought it was just music, but no, they had this really cool like thing called The Village, and they have like these tiny little arts music things going on. And the coolest thing that I saw, so they had mini golf at a music festival, amazing. And then they also had this bicycle, thank you, cycling.
I was like, psychical. What's that?
Cycling-powered disco. And basically, they had like these little discos. So there was this enormous line of maybe like 60 people outside this tiny little hut. And we're like, what is going on here? And all these static bikes lined up out the front. So we spoke with the organizers. And basically, the disco lets 40 people in. And they're in there for 10 minutes and the music is powered by like 8 people on these stationary bikes cycling out the front, like generating the electricity for the music. So I just thought that was really cool.
That is pretty cool. I do like it when they have weird stuff like that at a music fest, like some kind of event. Like, I think the weirdest one I saw was Dodgems at a rave. And I was like, wow, I don't really think this is like a cool thing. Like,
I would have thought that, like, I think, you know, if you're in something like a 3-day festival and you have like these little pockets of things going on. That's kind of different from being at a rave where everything's really intense and people are really like hyped up and then you're there like bashing around with dodgy guns. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd enjoy that as much.
I'm glad. Well, it sounded like you enjoyed the disco at least.
I did.
You did?
I did. Oh. I did enjoy the disco. And to be fair, I'm a little bit scared of dodgem cars in a normal setting. I just don't like the idea of deliberately smashing. Chasing after someone with a car.
Yeah, just mowing someone down.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we've got more Generation X coming up right after this.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
14 minutes past seven. This is Generation Next. Tonight you're joined by Dil and Em.
Hello.
Hello. And we've got an interview coming up, right now,
yep,
with Lee, who is a transgender man and who was nice enough to spend some time. And guys, if you have any questions for Lee yourself, if you did read the article or if you just want to bounce off something he said, feel free to send us a text at any time, 0427 Joy 949. Lee, welcome.
Thanks.
So, I guess, Lee, first off, when did you first identify as trans?
I first realized that something was a bit different in kindergarten when my best friend, like the first friend I ever made, his name was Nathan, and I accidentally walked in on him peeing. And then I asked my mum, how come I can't do that? And then I sort of started to realize that something was a bit different going on. But I first heard about the word trans or transgender when I was about 12, when I saw a very bad Herald Sun article written on somebody who had gotten surgery through the public health system. But yeah, I started realizing that it might be me straight after high school when I felt comfortable questioning it, not having to worry about being bullied at high school for anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. Was high school then a relatively like calm, smooth time for you in terms of like how you were identifying and stuff, or was it all like in your head? How was that experience? Because to give you some context, a lot of people we talk with find high school quite a difficult time in terms of like, I guess, going through puberty and changing and having a lot of peer pressure around them. Did you have any of those issues, or were you kind of cool in high school?
Yeah, high school was pretty awful, but I guess it was for most people. I mean, most people get teased just having a funny last name.
Yeah.
But I got teased mainly about liking girls. So I got called things like dirty dyke and stuff like that. So I just didn't want another thing to be teased about.
Yeah,
so I just sort of like, although I was dreading puberty, just sort of didn't say anything until after I graduated from year 12.
Yeah.
And then started to explore it with a therapist.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
And you've got a partner as well. How have they been through the transition or through your transition?
Oh, she's been fantastic. I met her before I started testosterone. I met her at a queer leadership camp, and at the time she had a girlfriend, but she graduated with a boyfriend at the end of it. So, yeah, she met me before testosterone. So she did a lot of research looking on YouTube videos of trans guys, because there's a lot out there on YouTube of people documenting their transition. So she did a lot of research, a lot of reading, so she knew what she was in for when I was about to start T. And she's been fantastic.
Yeah. And you guys live together, is that right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We've lived together for about a year and a half. Yeah.
That's so nice.
That's really sweet.
So just from reading the article and just having chat before, we gathered that you had a fair few medical issues going through the transition. Can you perhaps talk a bit about that?
Yeah. The issues that I went through, doesn't happen to most people. Most people stop bleeding after a couple of shots, but that didn't happen for me at all.
Okay, just to backtrack, like what kind of shots? Just for people who might not understand the
testosterone injections. We have them every couple of weeks, or if you're on Reandron, it's 1,000 slow release every 3 months. So we have to have these injections of testosterone in order to transition and have our voices break and have all that medical stuff happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And bleeding is normal as part of that?
No, like periods and stuff. Like when I say that when I'm talking about like bleeding. After a couple of injections, like usually about three, guys stop bleeding and it just doesn't happen. The testosterone just sort of rules it out.
Yeah.
Because the lining becomes really thin and it just doesn't bleed.
Yeah.
But for me, that wasn't the case. But I had problems about bleeding even before I started testosterone since I was like 14.
Okay.
So I was bleeding quite heavily and irregularly.
Yeah.
And having a lot of stomach pain. It just got worse and worse over the years.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you on the pill when you were bleeding like that?
Yeah, I was actually. Before I started testosterone, I think I was about 16 when I started. I started taking Levlen pill.
Mm-hmm.
And then that worked for a little bit. And I was skipping the sugar tablets because my doctor said that was okay.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have to bleed, because that was my biggest thing that made me the most depressed about my body.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was doing that for a couple of years. And then I started getting breakthrough bleeding. So then I had to go on a higher level of estrogen. So I was on like double estrogen of the pill.
God.
And then that worked for a bit of a little while, but then you have emotional problems through that. Like you've got so
too
much
many
estrogen
hormones
running through your body. You get really upset and like, you know, moody or whatever. And that was just a roller coaster I couldn't handle.
Of course. Yeah.
So yeah, my doctor got me on Yaz.
Yeah.
Which is basically another version of the pill, but it doesn't have any estrogen in it.
Yeah.
It's just got a lot of progesterone, which is another female hormone. So yeah, I was on that while on testosterone, which is not a good idea.
So that would be quite conflicting, I would imagine, in your body, like two different messages.
I was like a war of testosterone and estrogen clashing. It was terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, me and my doctor hadn't worked out that that was a bad idea until it started becoming a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after the testosterone treatment, well, a couple of months back now, you had a medical procedure. Can you explain like what that involved?
Yeah, in November I had a hysterectomy, and I had it done through the public health system, so I didn't pay anything for it, which isn't very common. It hasn't happened like that in over 10 years, one gynecologist had told me. Most people just pay for it, but because I had some medical problems going on, I was going to the emergency department in and out for severe pain and excessive bleeding. Like I once bled through 14 tampons in 24 hours, quite a lot of blood to lose.
Oh my God.
And you can imagine that would be, that's awful for a woman, but you can imagine a man, like that was just so traumatic.
Poor thing. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty horrible.
Yeah.
And my mum had similar issues as well, so it sort of ran in her
family. So it's like a genetic type
of thing. So I figured my mum had a hysterectomy about 5 years ago, so I figured if she can have one, why can't I if I have the same problem?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a year-long battle with one particular hospital who refused to give me a hysterectomy, and I have in writing, it's just because I'm trans. It said that although, you know, I had been having, you know, going into the emergency department, our management won't do this because you're trans.
Oh, so out and out discrimination.
Yeah.
What a lovely world.
But then you obviously were able to go through the public health system. So did you keep working with your doctor or something to find a hospital?
Yeah, I was ringing them up weekly, that hospital, to try and get them to do it. And I went through the advocacy system to try and get it pushed through. And eventually.
Gosh, what an enormous, like, thing to go through just to get something that you have the right to.
Oh, yeah. And then they eventually agreed to do scans, and they found that I had 40 cysts in each ovary, so 80 cysts. And then they said, however, we still won't do it, but we can write you a referral to Southern Health Monash Medical Center.
Right.
And they're going to do it. So okay. I had to go all the way outside of Melbourne to get that done. But I went there, and that hospital was fantastic.
Okay, great. That's quite interesting that they wouldn't do it, but that they were happy enough to support you to do it somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. The doctors that I met at this particular hospital and all the gynecologists, they were wonderful to me. Mm. It was just the management that didn't want to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
interesting.
What made this type of surgery quite unique?
I guess it was because I'm a man, because I'm not their usual 40-year-old woman who's had a couple of children. Yeah. I guess maybe that's it.
Yeah, that would probably.
Usual clientele, yes.
So I remember reading something in that article about a keyhole surgery.
Yeah.
Is that uncommon or common? I would not actually know a lot about hysterectomies or uteruses at all. But was the keyhole surgery, is that like a common practice then with...
It's quite new in the last, you know, 5 or so years that they've been doing it. Usually they would do an abdominal incision, which is like a 10 centimeter scar right across your stomach, which isn't a very good look.
No.
Sounds painful as well.
Oh, it's much more painful. So now these days they can do keyhole surgery. So I have like almost a centimeter scar on the left side of my lower stomach and then another one on the right side. Mm-hmm. And they also went in through the belly button and another half a centimeter scar on my lower stomach. So that's like nothing. That's like only a few centimeters of scarring rather than like 10
a
centimeters.
Big line.
Yeah, and you end up with the big anchor.
Mm.
Yeah. So moving on from your medical procedure, unless there's anything else you would like to, I find it so fascinating, all the medical side of things. You know, it's like, I don't know, when you just want to watch medical dramas on TV and all the gore, the scar's this big and the blood's this much. And anyway, moving on.
Do you know what? Just before we do move on, I always, whenever I'm channel surfing, right when I'm about to sit down to dinner, it's always something like that. Like one of those, you know, cosmetic surgeries or embarrassing bodies. And he's like, well, I'm not hungry anymore. My appetite's totally gone now.
Mm. It is interesting though. And it's interesting as well hearing like from you and how you found it, given that your experience is so unique in it. Yeah. So are you're involved with Y-Gender.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of work do you do for them?
I'm the treasurer and I also facilitate the discussion group.
Yeah.
Which is on once a month on the third Wednesday of every month at 6 PM.
Okay. There you go. Where can people find out more information about that?
Check us out on Facebook, Y-Gender. You can add yourself to our mailing list. We also have a website, just Google Y-Gender and you'll find us.
Cool. Easy. Yeah, and how long have you been working with them for?
Since the very beginning.
So
like we're like 2 years old now.
Yeah.
We're young.
Yeah.
We're getting there. We're growing up.
Yeah. Sounds like, Dil, you were saying that you met quite a few people from Y-Gender and everyone was really lovely.
Oh, it was awesome. Everyone was just like really excited just to chill out with each other and it was just like no egos. I was like, wow, that's really quite welcoming.
Yeah, Dylan came along to our Christmas party.
Oh, did you do?
Yeah.
Did he have his mohawk then?
Yeah, he did. I think he's always had that, hasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, no, there was a... I did shave
You'd have
my
a
head.
Shaved head for a while. Yep.
Yeah. Well, at first it was out of a bet and then I just liked the fact people got out of my way on the tram with a shaved head. I think they thought I was there to like rob them or something, so.
Could also be the fact that it's red and that you have multiple piercings and tats, possibly all together.
Possibly? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, Em. And you do have a request as well, Lee. What song and why are we playing this? And I mean that with the most utmost sincerity.
Well, Dylan asked me if I could pick any song to play. So I just had to pick Call Me Maybe.
Why? Because it's your favourite song?
It puts me in a good mood.
It does. It does put me in a good mood as well. And as much as when it does get stuck in your head, it can be a bit infuriating.
And it's got a lovely film clip.
I haven't seen the film clip. It's good.
Yeah, there's a bit of gender equality, same-sex equality in there. Yeah.
That's good.
It's a bit of a nice message, although out of joke, but it's still pretty good. I liked it.
Do you find yourself just singing Call Me Maybe everywhere you go?
No, it's just in my head.
Okay. Much better just having words in your head.
We've got Carly Rae Jepsen and more Generation Next coming up right after this. Thanks for dropping by, Lee.
No problems.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound.
Fresh new sound.
Joy 94.9.
You are listening to a Joy 94.9 podcast for Generation Next. News, views, and opinions from the queer youth of today. The Generation Next podcast is presented to you with thanks to Joy sponsor, Equal Play.
I'm Jason Ball.
And I'm Gus Johnston.
Sport has been a massive part of our lives.
But for all the highs, sport can also be complex and at times pretty tough for those in the GLBTI community.
The Equal Play study is an opportunity to change all this. We're calling on people aged 14 to 23 who are same-sex attracted or gender diverse guests to share their experiences in sport and PE. Participate now at facebook.com/equalplay.
Am I on?
You're on.
It is 7:33 p.m. That was Carly Rae Jepsen, Call Me Maybe. We did do some fist pumping in the air.
There was a whole heap of fist pumping. I just love it when you first off, you're like, no, you know, Carly Rae Jepsen. And you're like, oh, my God, it's Carly Rae Jepsen.
I know. And then you just sort of dance around.
You were singing along too.
I know. I think I know all the words. I think it's impossible not to know all the words.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah. Oh. That's just had like crows really smash into our window. Anyway.
I think I pooed. It scared me. I actually felt... The warmth draw from my face.
Okay, moving on. Do not want graphic description of that. We were speaking with Lee before the break, and we're just going to continue speaking with Lee now because we think that you're really great and that was a very interesting interview.
Thank you.
So we also want to ask, what would you suggest if anyone was going through any of the kind of medical or kind of pain-related things that you kind of experienced?
Yeah, definitely don't ignore it because in my case, it seemed to have gotten worse. So speak to your doctor.
For how long were you experiencing this? Well, like a month, like a year? The painful side of it.
The pain, it was very irregular. So it could be for a few hours, sometimes days. I bled sometimes for months straight.
Yeah.
Month after month. So definitely don't ignore it because it can get worse and you can get more cysts and things can get out of control. So definitely speak to your doctor about it and try and get her. And if there is something, you know, in scans or something that's not adding up, get them to do a referral to a hospital that can deal with it better, such as Monash Medical Centre, Southern Health. They were really good.
Mm-hmm. And so you would really recommend...
Oh, definitely. They were fantastic.
That area. Okay, cool. And do you have any advice for people who might be questioning at the moment?
Questioning their gender. Definitely come along to Y Gender. We do our introduction night where we shout everyone a coffee on the second Wednesday of the month at 6 o'clock. Come along, add us on Facebook, you know, just add people. People are more than happy to help each other out. We're really close in the trans community. Yeah. So don't be afraid to add me or whoever and just have a chat to us and we'll catch up with you. It's all good.
Yeah. And is that's this Wednesday, is it? Is that the second Wednesday? So in 2 days' time.
Mm.
Perfect time to kind of seize the moment.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Awesome.
That sounds quite nice. And who doesn't love a nice coffee?
Yeah.
Like,
with nice people.
With nice people, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Look, I'd just like to bring something up because I was reading some articles because I'm like the world's best hypochondriac of all time. Like I'll look up things, like medical things, just because I'm convinced that I have it. And or I convince myself I have it. But one article stuck out for me and it's quite alarming for – for our demographic and young people are not having safe sex as it appears. And we've been talking about this for a couple of months now on air, and I'm pretty sure Joy's been talking about it for ages. Mm. And what really highlighted for me was that the fears of major health organizations in America have come true, and gonorrhea, there's a string of gonorrhea that is now immune to the last remaining effective oral antibiotic, and that's been detected in at least nine North American patients.
That's not so you're saying that it can't be cured by antibiotics.
It's highly resistant to the last remaining antibodies that we have to treat this stage of gonorrhea, or this string of gonorrhea, I guess. And then even though that is in America, I was looking up statistics for Australians, and it says that most teenagers aren't practicing safe sex. The selected statistics include 1 in 4 teenagers have had sexual intercourse without using a condom. Only 40% of year 12 students always use condoms. Of year 12 students, males are more likely to report using condoms than females. And the percentage is 52% to 34%.
That's huge.
That's
an enormous discrepancy.
Yeah. And 1 in 4 teenagers report they were either too intoxicated during their most recent sexual encounter to say if they did use a condom or not. to recall that. And estimations suggest that about 28% of Australian teenagers may be infected with chlamydia.
It's kind of, I don't know, like I think like speaking from my own experience as a female during secondary school, I reckon there's a whole lot of peer pressure that kind of evolves about caring or not caring and how cool you are if you don't care, if you use a condom or,
yeah,
or whatnot. Like it, I don't know. I think that people, there's this mentality of I won't get anything. It's not going to happen to me. And then there's also this kind of like, you know, if you don't, and it happens in all sorts of areas, not just in safe sex, but in anything that's kind of a little bit risky or dangerous, you just perceive sometimes it's cooler if you don't.
Well, there is that natural risk that humans need to take, and that's like on a psychological level where they need to, you need to experience a certain level of risk per day. But I still think that these not having safe sex is one of those things that, you know, you can't afford to have that risk.
Yeah.
You can't do it, people.
I completely agree. And I just think that it's not, it's just not worth it. Like, it's uncomfortable and it can
expensive.
Have expensive and can have really serious health implications if, you know, things go untreated or, you know, can lead to all sorts of, I don't know, like even like snowballing kind of effects.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I guess to our Gen Next fans or anyone who's just tuned in, if you'd like to, you know, totally anonymous, but do you or don't you practice safe sex regularly? Send us a text, 0427JOY949. Don't need to leave your name, just some yes, I do or no, I don't practice safe sex.
Well, that statistic of 1 in 4 people, I mean, that's enormous.
Yeah.
That's like you're sitting in, you know, your classroom with a whole bunch of other people and a quarter of them, say you got 20 people in the class, 5 of them don't
practice safe sex.
I don't know. And then, you know, if you have sex with more than one person at school or at uni or whatever, which a lot of people do, then you're just spreading those germs. It's like if you're putting other people at risk as well in addition to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another thing is like people don't really want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about like, you know, using protection or not using protection. And I think it's something that we, you know, you need to have a chat about. I mean, like it's just, it's they're there for a reason. And it's not so much like, you know, just for not falling pregnant if you're heterosexual encounter, but also just for like the, you don't know this person. Like for most people, like I know in my, I guess, experiences, when I meet someone new, I don't really know them. I haven't known them all my life. I've met them maybe like a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know. I don't know who this person could be. Like they could be Tom Brady or they could, you know,
Tom Brady.
From the Brady Bunch.
Oh, okay. Right. Yep.
Or they could be like not so much Tom Brady. You know, I'm trying to think like a polar opposite to Brady. I can't right now. That would have worked if it did happen. But yeah, look, you just need to be safer and smarter.
Yeah.
With your decisions, people.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say that like in terms of like heterosexual sex, pregnancy is pretty high on the agenda, but it's like abs, like when I think of, I don't know, sleeping with somebody, the being safe in terms of getting a disease is just as high on the agenda as the potential.
Yeah.
Like depending on who I would be with, the potential to have a baby. God. Yeah. So I think that being safe in terms of diseases is just as, if not more important.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yes. We should just try it. There's lots of things, like lots of different like condoms and stuff that you can, safe sex practices that you can try. That, you know, you don't.
And it doesn't have to make sex less enjoyable either.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So send us a message, 0427JOY949. Let us know if you do, if you do or do not practice safe sex. We've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
Hey, I'm Rav Thomas and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
The fresh sound you're looking for, Joy 94.9.
17 minutes to 8, you're listening to Generation Next with Dill and Em.
Hello.
Thanks, Em.
It's okay. I just feel like I haven't said enough.
I think it's about that time for gay school. What do you reckon?
Oh, I reckon that sounds good.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside.
It's Gay School.
It is 7:44 in Gen Next, and we're going to start some Gay School.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gay youth are shaking up the city library. Minus 18, who we love, and Safe Schools Coalition Victoria.
Who I love.
Who you love. I love from a distance. I've never, you know, been involved with them, but Minus 18, I've met Micah and all those crew. At any rate, they're organising a public art exhibition at Melbourne City Library from January 15th to the 29th. Star Observer Online interviewed one of the participants, Marco Fink, who says he's treating the exhibition as a launch pad, not only to get his name out there, but also to encourage change in schools. So he's submitted a series of pieces he created in his senior years. He went to a Jewish school, King David's School in Melbourne. Fink said his pieces reflecting on sexuality, which were created for school assignments, were initially controversial, but the more that he did it, the more that teachers got on board and other students got really excited, and by year 12 he had a lot of support. So the Minus 18's general manager, Micah Scott, said that more opportunities for young people out there, the better. And he says we have a lot of young people who are creative and who do want to express themselves and don't have a platform where they feel comfortable. So Minus 18 do a lot of really great works for young LGBTIQ people, and I think it's pretty cool they're doing something that's so public at the City Library. And you should go check it out.
Yeah. And you know what? You should send us an email as well about like how you enjoyed it. You can send us an email at generationnext@joy.org.au and, you know, tell us about your day. Tell us what you saw, or, you know, maybe post something on our social medias. We have got some messages in regarding our little question of do you practice or do you not practice safe sex? And one person's message in saying, I don't know many lesbians who practice safe sex, don't use condoms, but you can use a dental dam. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you can practice safe sex in multiple ways aside from condoms.
Yeah. And so moving on to the next news article, Ellen DeGeneres is coming to Australia. So like we all love Ellen, the openly gay queen of US daytime television.
I love Ellen.
Oh, who doesn't?
She's just, yeah. She's so cool.
Okay, I'll get into this in a sec. She's coming to spend time with Australian partner Portia de Rossi and film segments of her highly rated talk show. DeGeneres made the announcement last week during her show while interviewing Nicole Kidman. DeGeneres then told all 400 studio audience members that they too will be traveling to Australia sometime in the next year. So she pulled an Oprah on them. She totally Oprah'd them.
I don't know if you can say that if you're also a talk show queen host. Like, I don't think that Ellen necessarily would want to say, I did an Oprah.
I Oprah'd you.
No, she did an Ellen.
She did an Ellen. each of them will receive an airline ticket to travel to Sydney or Melbourne anytime in the next 12 months, as well as 6 nights accommodation at a 4-star hotel. I love Ellen even more. I wish I was in that studio, even though I live in Melbourne.
Well, yeah, everyone in the audience started screaming.
Yeah. And a little fact, Portia de Rossi was born in Horsham.
Yeah, so Portia de Rossi is married to Ellen.
Yeah.
I think they got married in 2008 when it was briefly legal in, I think, California.
California, and it was called Proposition 8.
Mm. There you go.
And I actually was watching a bit on Ellen, and she was talking, you know, when she became the spokesperson for JCPenney, the clothing brand? And this Facebook group, they tried to actually take her down and take her off there because they're saying that, you know, her values and her concepts, they don't agree with, you know, our value structures. And Ellen just kind of like broke it down to them. And she said, look, I just want to tell you my values. I believe in a freedom from discrimination. I believe in truth, and I believe in honesty and respect. Those are my values. So you can take them or leave them. I was like, go, Ellen. I love you, Ellen.
She's amazing.
Mm.
And such a hot couple as well, Portia de Rossi.
Oh, absolutely.
I was checking out pictures of them on YouTube / not YouTube because that's videos, but you know what I mean, yeah. On the internet. It's like, wow.
They're so tall. They're like tall, giant, tall.
Portia de Rossi is really tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. / Amanda Lee Rogers from Horsham.
Yeah.
I didn't realize she was from Horsham. At any rate, moving on from Alan.
Totally eclipsed.
Jason Ball is going to lead the Pride March in February, coming up in a couple of weeks, actually. So Jason Ball, openly gay AFL footballer, earlier this month spoke to 100 new AFL draftees about his story and about homophobia at the AFL Player Association's induction camp. Continuing his campaigning work against homophobia in sport, Ball will lead this year's Pride March along with fellow players from his club, Yarra Glen. The announcement was made on Friday last week at the Pride March launch. Nearly 100 organisations will take part under the Enough campaign, including Enough Ambassadors, Dykes on Bikes, Australian Marriage Equality, Victoria Police, Living Positive Victoria, Australian Gay and Lesbian Multicultural Council, and Minus 18. There's also going to be post-march entertainment at the Katani Gardens, hosted by Joel Creasy, and will feature some drag performances, Camp Revolution, and Jono Francisco. So that's the 18th annual march, actually, and it's on Sunday, February 3rd at 2 p.m.
I love Pride March, just to say. I just love how everyone just gets so excited and so into it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's my two cents on Pride March.
Yeah.
And hey, also some of the your favorite Joy hosts got there eventually, will be marching down in Pride March as well. So, you know, definitely come around and shout out your support for Jen Next and Joy.
Yeah.
Lesbian couple nab first baby in France. The Star Observer has reported the first baby born in France this year is a rainbow baby to lesbian partners. The parents are hoping to get married when the French government's plans for marriage equality are implemented this year. Sasha was born as a result of artificial insemination in Belgium because same-sex couples are restricted from accessing the technology in France. The French government detailed its plan on introducing marriage equality and adoption rights for same-sex couples in the country in September last year. Same-sex couples will be able to become legal guardians of their partner's biological child under the new laws, but local rights advocates had criticized a decision not to extend a state-funded artificial insemination to lesbian couples with the bill.
I think it's really great that that Star Observer and the French press, and I think I also read about this on the BBC website too. It's great that this is coming out right now, particularly in the context of today when there was an enormous march in France, possibly in Paris, against same-sex marriage. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's good that there's a good news story simultaneous to that.
I think so. I think it's nice, and it definitely does give the, a nice equal portrait, I'd say.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Mm. That there are a lot of people in the French population who do advocate for gay.
Yeah,
French.
Well, do you know, in Australia, I found this out. Apparently, it's something like 64% of Australians support same-sex marriage.
Yeah, it's just the people at the top.
Yeah, they're part of the minority, which is weird because they're meant to be encompassing the whole Australia.
Well, yeah, but I think that it's the demographic as well, generally, of older, more conservative people who don't support same-sex marriage, and they're the people who do have a lot of power and influence in the population who kind of want to have leaders in power who support their values and vice versa. Anyway, another good story. The Queenscliff Uniting Church is inviting LGBTI people, singles and couples to have their relationships blessed this month, if they so choose to. Minister Kerry Lingham said the church was a safe place for gay and gender and sex diverse people. And she said many people in the congregation had gay children or grandchildren and the church wanted to celebrate their love. She said last year, one gay couple talked about how they often cry at weddings because they felt excluded because their partnership was unrecognized. But that there's going to be this blessing of relationships, and in this time they can be included for the first time. So this blessing of relationships will be held on Sunday, January 20 at 10 a.m. So you could head to the Queenscliff Uniting Church if you felt like you wanted to be blessed.
And where can they get that? Any more info?
They can look up Uniting Queenscliff, rather email. This is an email address. So Uniting Queenscliff, that's one word, at iinet.net.au.
Sensational. And here's another, I guess, religious, well, not guess, it is a religious story. Glay. I'm speeching it well tonight. gay clergy will now be allowed to become bishops in the Church of England. They will, however, have to meet certain conditions, including repenting for past homosexual acts and promising to remain celibate. Lesbian clergy, though, will remain barred from becoming bishops, with the General Synod deciding last November to continue to prevent women to prevent all women from attaining the position. The decision on the eligibility of gay male clergy was made by the House of Bishops in mid-December and made only public late last week. However, conservative groups within the church have vowed to overturn it. The Bishop of Norwich, Graham James, said that the House of Bishops saw the ruling as an extension of conditions the church introduced in 2005 to allow people in civil partnerships to become clergy. I've said clergy that many times. It's starting to sound odd to me. Clergy. Under plans for marriage equality laws announced by the British government late last year, the Church of England and Wales will remain exempt from legislation that will allow same-sex marriage ceremonies to take place in religious institutions that wish to provide them.
So I don't necessarily think that's a good news story.
No, I don't.
Like, you're allowed to become a bishop as long as you, you know, repent for all your homosexual sins.
And deny all of it.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we're almost out of time, guys, but we'll be right back right after this.
Hi, this is Marsha Hines, and you're listening to Generation Next. Support Joy and become a member. Call 1300-569-949.
Generation Next. Love it.
It is 7:57 p.m. and you have been joined by Dil and Em, and also by Lee, who we've had an interview with. And we're coming up to the end of our show for Monday and about to say hello to the fantastic people at Worldwide Wave.
Yeah, they're back for this this next grid. So, you know, stick around for them. Send them in a message. Tell them how much you love them. And we love you guys. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to a Joy 94.9 podcast for Generation Next. News, views, and opinions from the queer youth of today. The Generation Next podcast is presented to you with thanks to Joy sponsor, Equal Play.
I'm Jason Ball.
And I'm Gus Johnston.
Sport has been a massive part of our lives.
But for all the highs, sport can also be complex and at times pretty tough for those in the GLBTI community.
The Equal Play study is an opportunity to change all this. We're calling on people aged 14 to 23 who are same-sex attracted or gender diverse to share their experiences in sport and PE. Participate now at facebook.com/equalplay.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.